Welcome one and all to the greatest wrestling show on the planet, as hosted by your wily veterans, Will Macklin and Braden Mayhew, as well as the next generation cohorts, the Beast from BC, Alec Miski, and the man they call Gibby, Zach McGibbon. This is Wrestling with Ideas.
Welcome into Wrestling with Ideas here on CKDJ 107.9, Ottawa's new music. I am Zach McGibbon. Alongside me is Alec Miski. Braden Mayhew is not here right now, and neither is Will Macklin. We both hit them with chairs. They have taken devastating chair shots.
I think Braden took two chair shots through a table.
Yes.
And that was all on top of two ladders.
Yeah.
I mean, what's he doing up there?
I don't know. He took a lot of damage from that chair shot. So it's just me, or rather, for Mr. McKenzie out there, it's Alec and I that are in the studio right now. We are taking over for Wrestling with Ideas, and we got a ton of things to do right for this show. We've got the Raw review, but also we were able to get in contact with Mark AP. He is the creator and booker of C4 Wrestling, and we were able to get him on for an interview. We talked a bit about what he does in C4 Wrestling and just his overall thoughts of the business today, so stay tuned for that. We're going to have the interview up, plus at the end of the show, of course, we have our question from the question master, Simon Zimmerman. But also, we have a huge announcement to make. It's really, really exciting. So make sure to stay tuned and listen in to Wrestling with Ideas and keep on tuning in. So let's go on to the Raw. The Raw rating came in, and Monday night's WWE Raw drew 3.383 million viewers. This is down from last week's 4 million viewers from the Royal Rumble Fallout show. The final rating for the show was a 2.38, down from last week's 2.93, which is also down from the pre-Rumble episode. And it just kind of goes to show, this show was not the best. We didn't really see too much of this show, so we're just going to be going through this a bit quick. But we really didn't see too much from this show. So we start off with our opening promo. We go right to the ring, and Brock Lesnar comes out with Paul Heyman. Massive pop once he comes out. Fans are chanting Suplex City.
That's the best thing ever for him. Suplex City.
Yeah.
Like,
it's amazing how like a side comment he made that got picked up on camera can just explode into something different. It's kind of like The Rock in some of his comments in his promos.
Oh, yeah.
Heyman did the introductions. And also, he brought up the Wyatt family plotting on Lesnar during the Royal Rumble match, clearly teasing Bray Wyatt versus Brock Lesnar.
Yeah.
And Heyman says that it puts them on the track for Fastlane. And he said as well that Stephanie McMahon did what's beast for business by putting Lesnar in the main event with Roman Reigns and Dean Ambrose. And Heyman says Lesnar has authorized him to let us know that at Fastlane, Lesnar will imprison both Reigns and Dean Ambrose to Suplex City. And they said that Lesnar will F5 Reigns and Ambrose, and Lesnar will stack one on top of the other, pin them both at the same time, then go to the main event of WrestleMania 32. Lesnar will then conquer the billion-dollar trophy husband to once again become the reigning, undisputed WWE World Heavyweight Champion. And he starts ripping on Ambrose until his music hits, and out comes Dean Ambrose to a pretty good pop.
Fans like Ambrose. He's getting over real well.
Yeah, it is pretty interesting, just the crowd reaction for Ambrose, because he's always had that consistent over fan reaction. And as you'll hear from the interview with Mark AP later, he's also a big fan of Ambrose. Ambrose came to the ring, and he met Lesnar, and he called Heyman Porky and asked who is he to call a nup job. Ambrose says he has never been in the lair of a beast before, but it is quite cozy. And he also told himself before he came out that it may be a bad idea to go against Lesnar. Okay. I don't know. You really think so?
Well, that promo, like, just when he was cutting it all, it's like, you could tell, like, he was being serious. Like, you know, it's a bad idea to come out here and get my ass, you know, whooped by you. But it's just ridiculous. Mm-hmm. Ridiculous.
It really was ridiculous. Ambrose says he wants the title so bad, he's going to fight his own brother for the title. And that other brother being Roman Reigns. And he says he's going to fight Lesnar for it. And Ambrose says he doesn't really want to fight Lesnar. And obviously,
who does?
Yeah. Ambrose knows the beans he's going to get from Reigns and Lesnar at Fastlane. And he says he could be suplexed all over the place. And he hopes Lesnar is prepared to give him the worst beating he's ever given. Ambrose says he's the Iron Man of WWE and proves that every single night. Funny he says this, but he has not been in an Iron Man match in all of this. So I wonder if it's teasing something here. Ambrose says he will drag his broken body to WrestleMania, take the title from Triple H. Out of respect, Ambrose just wanted to come tell Lesnar that. He tells Heyman he just wanted to see what the fuss was about, drops the mic, walks off as his music hits. Heyman and Lesnar look on, and Lesnar laughs. And they talk about Ambrose between themselves, and Lesnar does not seem intimidated. And then they announce Kevin Owens versus Dolph Ziggler for later on in the night. And next was going to be Kalisto versus Rusev. Now this match, Kalisto versus Rusev.
Barn burner, it definitely was.
This was not the best match.
No, I'm not going to lie. I left to make cookies when this match was on.
It just goes to show when the man wants to make the cookies more than watch his professional wrestling.
Hey, peanut butter oatmeal, man, those things were awesome.
I have no doubt about that. No doubt about that. I would enjoy a cookie to try and go through 3 hours of Raw.
Hey, Vince Russo put the belt on those cookies.
He put the belt on those cookies, bro. And we got some back and forth back from the break. Rusev is in control. Big slam, corner out of two. We'll just go straight to the finish. Kalisto makes it back in the ring after Rusev and Kalisto were fighting it out outside. Rusev tossed Kalisto over the announce table, but he landed on his feet. Kalisto got a hurricane run off the table, which was a cool spot. And then Kalisto made it back to the ring and won by countout. You're a U.S. champion, everybody.
Yeah, he's your U.S. champion, clearly from Lucha Underground.
Yeah, clearly. and of course, Del Rio was trying to attack him as well. Kalisto celebrated on the ramp as Del Rio and Rusev look on from the ring. They announce Miz TV with AJ Styles. And then we go to a commercial break. And then back from the break, Roman Reigns is looking at the World Heavyweight title with Dean Ambrose backstage. Interesting note here, he called it a belt. Now, that may not seem like a big deal, but a belt is a banned word behind the scenes at WWE. Like, they don't want you to say the word belt. I don't know why.
Yeah.
There may be some sort of connotation with belt, but he said belt here. Reigns did, so I'm wondering if they're trying to, you know, let the reins, so to speak, get a little bit more loose. and
they're trying to loosen the belt.
Yes, exactly. There we go. Welcome to Wrestling with Ideas, everybody. Then Stephanie, or rather Reigns, says that their days with the titles are numbered because after Fastlane, he or Ambrose will be the number one contender and they're coming for Triple H at WrestleMania. Stephanie goes on and tries to start problems between them. She asks how much longer Ambrose wants to be Reigns' sidekick. Ambrose jokes that Reigns is usually his sidekick. Stephanie's tricks aren't working. She announces Reigns and Ambrose versus The New Day in the main event. Fans chant for The New Day as she dismisses them. And that just goes to show how over Reigns is.
Oh, absolutely. The fact that they put Ambrose and The New Day, like their top, like current members that aren't injured.
Yeah.
That's like, Reigns is so over.
Oh, yeah. Look at how over he is.
He's about as over his career is looking right now.
The Usos versus Curtis Axel and Adam Rose. The Usos are really boring. I'm sorry. I've given them slack before, but seeing this match, oh, by the way, interesting note here, Lillian Garcia called them the Grammy Award winners instead of the Slammy Award winners.
I'm sure they have good musical talent.
I'm sure they do. I mean, that dance they do at the beginning must have gotten them nominated for a couple of Grammys, I swear.
Oh, yeah.
It must be.
The Grammy Award
winners. Oh, boy. So,
sweet baby,
not really much to say. I do kind of like the Social Outcasts as a group, just because they're so weird and different that it makes them all special in their own way. They're kind of like the Job Squad of 2016.
It's almost like the spiritual successor to 3MB.
Yes. Or you could say the reincarnation of the Job Squad. Only because, you know, the Job Squad had a whole bunch of weird people in the Job Squad.
Yeah.
And you got a whole bunch of totally different characters in the Social Outcast. So I think that's why they're the Job Squad. They're essentially Job Squad 2.0. Book that. versus the Wyatts. Let's do it. So after the match, we get replays as the Usos dance. Whoop-dee-doo. And then the Miz is backstage preparing for his Miz TV segment as we went to commercial. Back from the break, Miz is in the ring getting ready for Miz TV, of course. And he mentions how AJ's story is truly phenomenal. If I have to hear more phenomenal puns from WWE, it's going to be the end of me. I understand it's a big deal and it's cool to see AJ Styles in.
Please. Yeah.
I like what they've been doing with him so far. I'm still very, very nervous about what his prospect holds in the future.
It's like, I just don't see the direction they're booking him.
Yeah.
Like, having him go up against Jericho and then Jericho putting him over, that's great. It gets him, like, gets him good pop with the crowd. But where's he go? What's his match at Fastlane? That's my question.
It's going to be interesting. The rumor is maybe a rematch with Jericho again.
Okay.
Because a lot of people were saying, you know, I mean, it goes to show, like, Styles is very quick in the ring, and it's quite obvious in his matches. And Jericho, still great in-ring guy for his age. Great in-ring guy. He can still pull out some 3.5-star matches, which is good. You could tell he was a step below AJ Styles in terms of quickness and speed.
Oh, yeah. Like, especially, like, because in the Rumble, they always went at it, it seemed.
Yeah.
Like, it's like, oh, no one's fighting me, no one's fighting you. Let's go at it again. It's like, it was great. Like, Jericho in the Rumble match was amazing to watch, actually. It was almost like his old form.
Yes.
And even the Monday Night Raw match against Styles, he looked older, really good. Albeit, but he still looked good.
He still looked good. And you know what? He's still doing a moonsault at 45 years old.
Yeah.
I mean, he's doing fantastic. Off the ropes, nonetheless.
Oh, I know. Like, it's stuff he did back in, like, the early 2000s.
Oh, yes. And it's good to see. He keeps himself in very good shape. And Miz says everyone wants to know who AJ Styles is, but doesn't let him speak just yet. And Miz mocked AJ at one point. I believe at one point during this, he called him a redneck rookie, which is didn't go over very well with some of the fans on Twitter.
I know. Fancy that, calling someone a redneck rookie in Birmingham, Alabama.
He says AJ has always been told he didn't have the it factor. Miz talked about how AJ was told he was too small for the football team in high school. Oh boy, I think I know who wrote this segment. And what it was like to stand in a WWE ring. Like, AJ wanting to wrestle around the world, but always wondered what it was like to wrestle in a WWE ring. AJ just keeps looking on and smiling all through this, just taking it like a champ. Miz talked about AJ being in the Royal Rumble match and how it must have been the most important moment of AJ Styles' life. Not career, his life.
Oh, yeah.
Because, you know, WWE, pinnacle. Like, everything below that is nothing compared to reaching WWE.
There is nothing above WWE. Not even the championships. That's a step
down. No. That's a step down. You should be happy enough that you're even popular in WWE, let alone having a title belt.
Your merchandise sells. That's not a big thing. You made it. That's all that matters.
And Miz is still talking. And he brings up the Chris Jericho match from last week. And then The Miz asked AJ where he goes from here, but of course he still didn't let him speak. Miz says AJ reminds him of his other protege, Daniel Bryan. Which I laughed so hard when he said his protege, Daniel Bryan, the best technical wrestler in the world next to Zack Sabre Jr.
Oh yeah.
He was the one. The Miz taught Daniel Bryan how to wrestle. Do you see any cattle mutilation from The Miz on any episodes of Raw?
Just a few.
I mean,
about as many as you find in the Southwest. I mean, he has a UFO sighting.
It's not like he doesn't do the most wonderful figure four leg lock. You know, it's just.
It's those folks from.
He's still talking. Miz asks if everyone remembers Brian. People chant yes. Miz says Bryan didn't achieve true greatness until Miz took him under his wing. What a great heel. Miz says some call him the father of the Yes Movement, and a big no chant broke out.
Miz says he has AJ on the show tonight, but wants to become AJ's mentor and take him to heights he's never been before. So I guess Neville decided to say no to his offer. No continuation on that storyline. Fans mooed Miz. He talked more trash, kept talking. Miz asked, who the heck is AJ Styles anyway? More heel heat. He says there's probably a reason why our little cult hero never made it to WWE. And on and on and on he kept talking about this. And says that AJ Styles will drown in this ocean full of sharks if he keeps listening to the fans. Fans chant for AJ. Miz called AJ, there we go, a rookie redneck, and asked if fans really think he can make it to WWE without Miz's guidance. Miz says there's no chance in hell. He turns around to AJ attacking him. AJ beats Miz into the corner, unloads on him. AJ tosses Miz across the ring into one of the chairs. AJ beats on him some more until Miz escapes the ramp, yells at him some more, music hits. AJ Styles stands tall. So after all the verbal abuse that AJ Styles took, he did come out on top. But yeah, you know what? At the end of the day, it was fine. When I was looking in, I'm like, what are they doing? They're essentially peeling the banana out of AJ Styles. Like, all the good parts is slowly going away. It's slowly peeling away.
Yeah.
But then he saved face a bit by attacking Miz afterwards and didn't seem to really take it that much.
Well, no, it's just like the whole bit seemed really ridiculous to me. But the whole Miz character is supposed to be ridiculous. Like, he's supposed to be that cocksure, full of himself kind of guy who thinks, oh, something good happened. Well, it's because I'm here. It's like, it's not because everyone else around them worked hard for it. It's because he was there. It's like, he was there for the Yes Movement, so he was the father of it.
And we go back for the break. And out came Brie Bella with Brie Mode as the theme song, one of the worst theme songs in the history of mankind.
I remember hearing it, and it was just like, why?
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 Why? Instead of yes, 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 or no, 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 we should chant, why? 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 Because that's all the crowd, see, that's all the fans seem to be thinking is throughout these entire storylines for WWE. Why? Why? Why?
Especially with this match. Like, this match proves the Divas division is actually going nowhere.
Oh, I don't know what they were thinking.
And the worst part was, Rumble had a great Divas match. Raw, the night after, still had a good Divas match.
Yeah.
This week?
It looked like it was going to turn a tide. And then I think someone mentioned, hey, look, no Total Divas are involved in the main event of the women's match. Well, let's throw Brie Bella in there. She's part of Total Divas.
Which is just like, it was a fairly alright match, but just like the booking of it makes no sense, because you have Charlotte that, like, well, let's just go through the match here. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Charlotte does some push-ups at the start, and then Brie unloads on Charlotte and takes control of the match.
Sorry, before you go on, Charlotte did some push-ups to start the match.
Yeah.
So you know how she says she's genetically superior?
She's Scott Steiner?
Yeah, she's Scott Steiner.
You don't get my simpy at all!
He doesn't get any simpy at all. The big bad booty
Daddy.
Flair.
Big bad booty
I don't know.
So,
you don't get my simpy at all!
Man, oh man.
So Brie takes some control and unloads on Charlotte, then starts with the yes kicks. She calls for Brie Mode and charges in and gets pushed through the ropes to the floor. Charlotte brings Brie back in and talks trash while slamming her into the mat. And this goes on for a little while. They kind of go back and forth until Brie starts regaining control and hits with a running knee to the face. She goes up top, but Charlotte knocks her down. Brie ends up on Charlotte's back with a sleeper hold. And this is where Ric Flair, proving that he's the greatest manager of all time, just gets involved. He goes up on the apron and tries to distract the referee. You know, Alicia comes over, yells at Flair to get down. Charlotte finally breaks the sleeper hold as Flair is still yelling at Alicia and dancing on the apron. Charlotte goes for the figure eight, but Brie rolls her up for the non-title win. And it just kind of makes you wonder, why is your Divas champion losing to someone who, for the most part,
most of the champions
isn't
lost.
In the running?
Most of the champions lost in this show, unless your name was Triple H. I mean, Kalisto didn't look good out of his thing. He won by count out.
Yeah, like, that's not a win.
And then Charlotte lost via a roll-up. And then, I mean, the only ones... Okay, Ambrose, you could say, also was successful. But heck, I think the New Day lost as well. So the tag team champions...
Yeah.
We're not... What?
Well, to be fair, they lost to Dean Ambrose and Roman Reigns.
Yes, to be fair. But still, champs were chumps on this show, as the Solomonster would say.
And the big thing that came after this match was... When they came back from the break, the announcer sent their well wishes to WWE Hall of Famer Bret Hart as he battles prostate cancer.
And we also here at Wrestling With Ideas wish Bret Hart the very best, because we know he's had a very, very tough life. So
yeah,
we hope he's gonna, you know, fight through this. You know, he really did had a hard life ever since that kick from Goldberg. So we're hoping he pulls through.
Yeah, I hope that the excellence of execution, you know, pulls through this as well.
Yeah, and I hope he does it with excellence in his execution. And so we then go to the technical masterpiece that was Big Show versus Eric Rowan.
Now, was this heel show or face show?
I think this was face show. We saw heel show when he first debuted and then face show the next week. But it looks like they're continuing on with face show. I'm excited for heel Big Show versus face Big Show at WrestleMania. It's going to be good.
That's going to be the best match ever.
Oh, with Tweener Big Show as the special guest referee.
And they'll bring back Spike Dudley for no reason at all.
Let's just do it. Dudley boys have a program? No. We're putting him as a special guest referee in the Big Show match. That'll draw.
That'll get people. So, surprise, surprise, with the Eric Rowan match, nothing exciting happens, but Big Show wins.
Yes.
Because Big Show, just for whatever reason, he just doesn't lose. No. Unless your name's Cesaro and you're throwing him over the top rope.
That was still impressive. I still look at that.
Great.
And
moment.
I say to myself, how can WWE think that they couldn't do anything with that guy?
I know, right?
Just insane. But anyways, for those wondering where Bray Wyatt was, him and Bo Dallas, or rather Bo Dallas and Bray Wyatt, were off because Blackjack Mulligan, who is their grandfather, was hospitalized in Florida. So they went over to console their grandfather. So that's why you only saw Strowman, Harper, and Rowan out there instead of the leader himself, Bray Wyatt, or the wonderful Bo Dallas as part of the social outcasts. So hopefully, again, Blackjack Mulligan is all good. And show grabbed part of the Steel Steps, which gave me some very haunting flashbacks about their Steel Steps match. Their Stairs match back at TLC a couple years ago. And we also had... the winner was Big Show. After the bell, Show stood up and was ready to fight. Braun enters the ring and they stare each other down. If they're doing Braun Strowman versus Big Show, they have to be out of their mind.
Who wants that?
Who wants? I can't believe that WWE was even thinking about doing Braun Strowman versus The Undertaker. Fortunately, if reports are to be believed, they're not going to do Braun Strowman versus The Undertaker at WrestleMania. Thank the Lord not happening.
No, do you know what they're going to do? And this is because there's geniuses and creative over there. They're going to have Braun Strowman and Big Show versus Kane and The Undertaker.
Ooh. You know what I think? And somebody brought this up. This could be an interesting idea. The New Day have no opponents.
Yep.
Undertaker has no opponents.
Yeah.
New Day versus the Brothers of Destruction at WrestleMania. I mean, I don't know what else you can do.
You can use those in for that.
Who's so crazy after the dead man comes out? Like, that'd be very different, but like, that'd be interesting. You see two totally different styles: the dark dead man and the fiery Kane versus New Day Rocks. New Day Rocks. That would certainly be interesting. We then go to Kevin Owens versus Dolph Ziggler. And this was at the point of the show where I just started to tune out. I didn't really want to see Kevin Owens versus Dolph Ziggler. And guess what? Dolph Ziggler got the win.
I don't know why they had this match again, because Owens won the week before, if I'm correct. So it's just 50-50 booking straight up. Mm-hmm. So I don't know really what they're trying to build the heat here towards. But more importantly, you skipped over the Titus and Tyler Breeze match.
I don't even want to talk about that match.
Well, Titus O'Neil won. That's all that's important.
Because I purposely skipped that, okay? I didn't want to talk about Titus O'Neil versus Tyler Breeze. I hope that nobody remembered this. Because it's mind-boggling to me that Tyler Breeze is still being pushed so low down the card.
Yeah.
After doing nothing with him, like... And he's not going to be main event. Like, people have this idea that, like, all the people that debut from NXT are suddenly going to go to the main event. Like, no. Like, Bo Dallas was never, ever, ever going to be a main event star, even with the current gimmick he had in NXT. Tyler Breeze was not going to be a main event guy with the current gimmick he had, but he could have been a marketable heel. Could have been a great mid-carder. You could have him going for the U.S. Championship or the Intercontinental Championship. Instead, they're just putting him in useless matches, and no disrespect to Titus O'Neil. I think he's a good worker as well. He's starting to get better.
Oh, yeah.
He's not amazing, but he's getting better. They see some potential in Titus, and he does some good work outside of WWE. Yeah. Again, another guy that I think should be higher on the card. But Tyler Breeze, for so long ago, was one of the guys in NXT, one of the reliable main eventers. That is a guy, that is why essentially WWE is not doing successful, is because they're so focused on this one guy mentality.
Yeah.
That they don't have the main event guys that can fill in those spots and also be draws. That's what Tyler Breeze was. He was a main event draw in NXT, not the face like Finn Balor was. He was the guy in the main event you would throw in and be like, hey, I want to see that match. He was their Dolph Ziggler of NXT when done right.
Yeah, yeah, exactly, exactly. But they just don't do it right with him. Not whatsoever, which is terrible to say. Great in-ring worker.
Yes, very good in-ring worker.
And I like his gimmick where he comes up with the selfie stick, and it's like...
song is perfect for him, too, because he sings it, too.
Yeah.
So, again, I don't want to talk about this. This just infuriated me. And that's why I said I started to tune out after this. But Dolph Ziggler won. He had done actually nothing for weeks, and all of a sudden he got a big win against Kevin Owens, so whoop-de-doo. Next, we had a Black History Month video for Mark Henry. And I missed that video, so I don't know how they covered it, but I'm sure they did it with grace and respect.
The things that you like associate with Vince McMahon and the WWE.
Yes. Apparently Martin Luther King was Vince McMahon's hero. That's what Vince McMahon said one time. I find that interesting.
So is this kayfabe or real life?
I'm not sure. I'm just throwing it out there. We had Sasha Banks versus Becky Lynch. Another match that was won via DQ by Sasha Banks. And of course, these two were considered to have one of the best matches last year at one of the NXT TakeOver specials. Becky Lynch has really gotten much better. And I think, you know, people were like, Charlotte and Sasha is the money match at WrestleMania. Well, I think Becky has really done some wonders to get herself in the talk to be a triple threat at WrestleMania. Heck, even if you call up Bayley, do the Fatal 4-Way.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Might as well bring up Bayley. Why not have her debut at WrestleMania there?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wait, she's been on Raw before, hasn't she?
Mm-hmm. Bayley?
Yeah.
I don't think on Raw.
But on pay-per-views?
She's been behind the scenes.
Okay.
She's gone to main roster shows. I'm sure she's worked some dark matches.
Okay.
So then, after the match, DQ by Sasha Banks. Naomi and Tamina beat on Sasha at ringside until Becky Lynch came in to make the save, totally forgetting that Sasha beat her up earlier in the Royal Rumble. And then Naomi rolls Becky into the ring, and Tamina rolls Sasha in. Becky and Sasha fight back, stand tall in the ring. Big NXT chant starts up as Sasha music's hit, and the two teams stare at each other, giving a little bit of a tease to Team Bay from NXT. Again, storyline-wise, this made no sense. I mean, I understood Sasha Banks getting beat up by your team.
Yeah.
But I was surprised Becky Lynch would even come to help when Sasha Banks beat her up at the Royal Rumble. So, very stupid stuff, in my opinion. We had a preview for Legends with JBL with WWE Hall of Famer Ron Simmons. We go back from the break at the AJ Styles versus Chris Jericho match from last week's Raw. And Renee Young was backstage with Jericho. She asked him about the match. Jericho says, everyone is talking about AJ, but not Jericho, because Jericho is thinking about him. Jericho says everything about the match was tremendous, except the outcome. He says it is proved to him that AJ is here for the long haul and is the real deal. He proved it again by beating on Miz tonight. Jericho says he's paying close attention to what happens between Styles and Miz on SmackDown. Jericho says he's taking this very serious and can't wait to see what happens. We then go to another promo. R-Truth finds gold dust in a bathroom stall, and all Goldust wants is for Truth to be his tag team partner. Golden Truth is a hot name, he says. Truth says he doesn't want to tag with Goldust because he's a weirdo. A weirdo.
Which one, Truth or Goldust?
Truth said that
Goldust... No, which one's the weirdo, I mean?
I mean, they're both. But that's the joke. And Truth says Goldust has doo-doo on his foot. And Goldust brings up Little Jimmy and says he was imaginary. It appears Truth's feelings are hurt as he walks off. And we're just going to take a quick commercial break. When we come back, we're going to go to your main event. Then we're going to get things set up for the Mark AP interview for C4 Wrestling. You're listening to Wrestling with Ideas here on CKDJ 107.9, Ottawa's new music.
Oh, Ottawa! Don't you dare be sour! Put your hands together and clap for your world-famous best wrestling show on the planet and feel the power!
It's Wrestling with Ideas! Yes, it is!
This show rocks! This show rocks! This show rocks! This show rocks!
Welcome back inside Wrestling with Ideas here on CKDJ 107.9, Ottawa's new music. I am Zach McGibbon. Alongside me is Alec Miski. And I can't think of a better song to return us to than that one. We're going to quickly go over the main event. We're going to play you the interview we took with Mark AP from C4 Wrestling. We're going to play a segment of it, about 10 minutes of it. We will have the full interview online on wrestlingwithideas.podomatic.com. So it should be some interesting stuff indeed. And we'll just go right to the main event, which was The New Day versus Dean Ambrose and Roman Reigns. And what was an interesting match. I decided to go back. I didn't watch it initially, but I went back and it was a fine match. One of the highlights of the match, if you could call it a highlight, was Big E slapping the buttocks of Dean Ambrose. And that, my friends, is booty. That is booty, ladies and gentlemen. New Day rocks. New Day rocks. New Day rocks. New Day rocks. And but otherwise, the match was fine. I mean, I would have preferred if maybe the tag team champions didn't lose cleanly. But you know what? The argument can be made that it was against guys like Dean Ambrose and Roman Reigns. So it's not all too bad.
No, absolutely. Plus, having Paul Heyman be out on commentary was a nice touch.
Yes.
I mean, it harkens back to the days of him and Jim Ross.
Yeah, absolutely.
Beautiful.
And so after the match, Brock Lesnar's music hits and he comes out. The New Day attack from behind and beat on Reigns and Ambrose while they're staring at Lesnar. Lesnar stops and laughs while Reigns and Ambrose fight the New Day off. Reigns takes Kofi to the floor. Lesnar runs into the ring and lays Ambrose out with an F5. Reigns is down on the floor with Kofi. Lesnar laughs as he stands over Ambrose and the music hits. Lesnar doesn't hang around long and exits the ring with Heyman behind him. Raw goes off the air with Lesnar looking back at the ring. Which was an interesting sight. And it's an interesting that Brock Lesnar decided to just beat up on poor Dean Ambrose. Which is a little sad because I am a big Dean Ambrose fan.
What I just don't get is what is the New Day doing with this? Like, what's the angle with that?
I don't understand. I don't know.
I get that they're like, they got in a little bit of a like thing with Rock last week, and then they fought the Usos, which are supposed to be his cousins or something, and then now they're fighting Roman Reigns, which is also The Rock's cousin. So are they just like tearing through his family in an effort to get to The Rock?
Mm-hmm. It's very weird stuff, but that was Raw. We didn't really watch too much of it.
I did watch the final match.
Yeah, I watched it too.
I was eating cookies.
I mean, it wasn't bad. It was just, you know, I think it was very underwhelming compared to what we saw from last week's Raw, which I thought was an entertaining Raw.
I was like, thanks, they're building up on the road to WrestleMania. This one just feels like they hit construction or a roadblock.
Yeah, it was just, it was not the best of the New Day, or rather, it wasn't the best Raw. Like, quite frankly, it just was not the best Raw. And so we are going to get ready now for our interview with Mark AP. Again, he is the owner and the creator and booker of C4 Wrestling. And we had a very engaging chat. We were talking about his early days in C4 Wrestling and how it started, what his philosophy is. And I hope you guys are able to enjoy it after you take this.
RKO out of nowhere!
Gotta love RKOs.
Welcome again to Wrestling with Ideas. I am Zach McGibbon. I have with me on the line for what should be a very interesting interview is Mark AP. He is the creator and booker for C4 Wrestling here in the nation's capital, and he joins us now on the line. How are you doing today, Mark?
I'm doing good. Yourself?
I'm doing pretty well. I'm glad to have you on the line here, and should be a very interesting chat. As I mentioned before, you are the creator and booker of C4 Wrestling. Is that correct?
That is correct.
And how did C4 Wrestling start?
Ah, okay. I'll actually go back to somewhere you're familiar with, Algonquin College.
Okay.
I'm a scriptwriting graduate from the scriptwriting program. And soon after graduating, I became involved with the very thin but existing local Ottawa indie scene. Mm. And I became involved with that in trying to get my writing, using that aspect and relating it to wrestling. There wasn't a whole lot for me to do with that locally. And basically over the course of the next 2.5 years, I launched the C4 Capital City Championship Combat, and we had our first show in November 2007, and I can't believe 8 years have gone by so far, but that's how we first started. It really started as an outlet for my creative storytelling. And also as being a fan of wrestling as a child growing up, it was a natural progression for me.
Oh, that's very interesting. And I'm just wondering, is there any booker you looked up to, any elements from like a Paul Heyman booking style or a Gabe Sapolsky booking style that you put into your booking of C4 Wrestling?
I don't think consciously ever there was. I mean, I grew up in the late 90s being like a huge fan of everything I could get my hands on. And times are very different now than they were then, where now everything is a tip of your fingers. You can get access to anything you want. For me, it was scouring whatever tapes I could find. It was reading whatever magazines, kayfabe magazines I could find. It was a lot of that. So it wasn't so much an awareness of particular bookers doing what they did. That said, I idolized Vince McMahon as a kid. I knew who Eric Bischoff was. I thought Paul Heyman was a genius, even if I only had like a 1 hour of ECW television on tape, a taped episode a friend of mine got off a satellite dish, because again, it wasn't accessible up here. But I knew who these guys were. So I mean, subconsciously, I'm sure I picked up on things, but I mean, I don't think I have, as I started getting into the booking aspect, I don't think I had a particular person that I emulated. I got involved with several different indie promotions before launching C4. One of those would be IWS out of Montreal, which some people might have heard of. They recently came back after a few-year hiatus, but the first shows I put on were promoted with them, and I learned a lot of experience from guys backstage, such as Kevin Owens, and many others who were around. So I think I was just a sponge taking a lot of different things.
Very interesting stuff. And do you have some sort of philosophy when it comes to booking? Is there a constant thing that you recognize when you book batches for C4?
Okay, well, there's two different things at play there. For specific matches, I want to make sure I put out something that's an entertaining product to my audience, because I know my audience, and I've been building it for 8 years, so I know the C4 crowd and I know what will get a response. So in the short term, for particular matches or for single events, I can't really verbalize it, but it's all just experimenting and mixing and knowing what works with what. For long term, I always believe things have to be justified. I think you shouldn't insult your audience intelligence. And I think that, I think for what we do at C4, I cannot compare my philosophy to what is on television or whatever, because we are producing 3.5 hours every 4 to 6 weeks. We are not producing 7 hours a week on TV. So I can't really compare what I do versus what televised products do, or what things that even run every week do. I know that I have to send people home knowing that they had a great time, knowing that they want to tell their friends, and knowing that they want to come back in a few weeks. Not necessarily, I need to tune in 2 days to watch the follow-up to this.
Very interesting stuff. And I heard you mentioned you had a partnership with IWS. I noticed when I went to the recent C4 show, The Harder They Come, I noticed on the ticket that there was also some support from Smash Wrestling, which is a promotion down in Toronto. Is there any sort
of... I was in C4 about 5 or 6 years ago and wasn't a known commodity. And now through his development in C4 and then going out because of matches he had in C4, he's now become one of those hot new indie guys. that a lot of people are talking. He's in the he's in PWG. He was touring with AAA. He's going overseas. So it's cool that I'm looking outside for new talent, but also some of C4's homegrown guys are now becoming those hot indie talent.
Yeah, it's very cool stuff. And as you mentioned, Speedball Mike Bailey, he's having a ton of success down in the States. He's wrestling for ZZW now, and as you mentioned, PWG. Yep. But is there any talents down in the States that you've looked at and you were thinking, maybe I should bring him in for C4 Wrestling?
I mean, without naming names, I can say I have a decent-sized list of guys who I'd like to get up here. It's really a matter of logistics. It's a matter of timing. It's a matter of money. One big thing right now that's really hurting is the American dollar, because it's just these guys are getting paid. They got to be paid in their home currency, and we are still charging Canadian prices at the door.
Yeah.
So that's something that's not thought of, but it's a tough thing right now. Hopefully that changes, but also fortunately we're doing pretty well right now. So I'm sure we're going to slowly make it through everyone. I mean, over the last 8 years now, we brought a who's who of guys through Ottawa. Like I've said, Kevin Owens, Sami Zayn, Cesaro, Chris Hero, American Wolf, Sanjay Dutt. Loki has been up here for us. Well, for Fighting Back, Tommy Dreamer, Rhino, Raven. There's a long list of guys, both indie guys who are setting the world on fire right now and guys who've been around for a while.
Yeah, and that's just, as you mentioned, just a very long list there of some wrestlers that's gone down to C4 Wrestling. I'm just interested to see, where do you think C4 will be in the next couple of years? Because when I was at the event, I got a chance to talk to Too Cold Scorpio a little bit, and he sees a possibility of having even a C4 Wrestling school in the future.
I mean, that's something we'd love to do, and it's something that's been discussed going back since day one. It's something that's on all our minds, and again, since day one, that has been something we'd like to do. However, the reality of the situation is buildings are expensive to rent, and it's as simple as that. Just the logistics of getting something up and running is just, at this point, is more than we can chew on right now. I think, having been doing this for 8 years, we're focusing on what we do best, and that's putting on the shows.
And I think
you can speak honestly when I think you had a really good time at that show.
Oh, yeah, it was tons and tons of fun. And I recommend everybody to find that show on Smart Mark Video. And I believe they sell MP4 versions as well on Smart Mark.
They have MP4 and DVD, as well as if you go to smvod.com. smartmarkvod.com, they have it on their VOD service as well.
Well, that's perfect. And so, yeah, I totally recommend everybody to go out and check that out. And I just want to move on to some of what's going on in the modern day wrestling. Just quickly, have you seen, are you keeping an eye on the WWE product?
I mean, I keep an eye on it. I don't watch week to week simply because 6 hours is too much to consume, in my opinion. I do watch the monthly specials. I'll admit that, of course. I watch the monthly specials, and it's much more manageable to watch that way. I keep up enough that I know more or less what's going on.
Okay. Just a pretty broad question, but I'm just interested to hear your thoughts on it. What do you think of the creative direction of WWE so far?
I think that in the last decade, or 14, 15 years, there's been nothing that they've done that should make anyone have faith in their long-term planning. Since the invasion angle, they have done absolutely nothing long-term vision that, in my opinion, should give anyone faith. The only reason Daniel Bryan got to the top of the card was because they had no other option. It wasn't a long, thought-out process. They were going to not bury him, but they did their little thing with Randy Orton in the fall of 2013, I guess, and had no choice but to follow up on that direction when the Batista return bombed. They should have went with Rob Van Dam way earlier than they did. He was organically over. They could have gone with CM Punk, who was organically over with the fans, but they didn't. they are constantly not going with the organic response, the organic thing to do. There has been no one sustained at the top of the card in the last 15 years, in my opinion, who got over organically with the audience.
And just from you hear from that, just a very interesting interview as well. We'll have the full interview up on wrestlingwithideas.podomatic.com. We're going to take another quick commercial break. Then when we come back, we are going to have our rumors and news. And we are also going to make our big announcement at the end of the show. Don't miss it.
Ottawa! Don't you dare be sour. Put your hands together and clap for your world-famous best wrestling show on the planet and feel the power.
It's Wrestling with Ideas. Yes, it is.
Best show rock. This show rocks. This show rocks. This show rocks.
Welcome in to Wrestling with Ideas here on CKDJ 107.9. Ottawa's new music, of course. With the creation of the new day, we got a bit creative. More creative than WWE creative. Speaking of creative, by the way, I was promoting the show, and guess who retweeted our link to the show?
Who?
None other than TNA Creative themselves.
No.
Yeah. TNA Creative. 19,000 followers retweeted us. TNA Creative.
Hard times.
That's crazy.
And we just want to say TNA is the must-see show every Tuesday night from 9 o'clock to 11 p.m. And we just want everybody to know... No, we're listening to Wrestling with Ideas. So we're going to our news and rumors quickly, and then we are going to have our big announcement. So let's just go into some of the news. I don't know, Alec, do you have some of the news for us?
Well, the biggest news for me personally is that Shinsuke Nakamura was actually landed in New York today. He left Japan and came to New York to visit the WWE Performance Center. He's supposed to be in the country for 2 weeks and going back to Japan, but then he would return for WrestleMania 32 weekend, and he's scheduled to face Sami Zayn in WWE NXT TakeOver Dallas on April 1st.
Spoiler alert. Too late, but it's all right. But yeah, very interesting stuff. It sounds like they're trying to, you know, organize the contract.
I think like they're just like making sure he's in like good condition to wrestle in WWE, finalize the contract, and just, you know, meet and greet more or less at the same time. Because now he's part of the company.
Yeah, it's gonna be very interesting. Any other big news or rumors other than obviously Bret Hart having prostate cancer, which is awful. And I hope that Hart will be able to get through this, as I mentioned earlier in the show. And hopefully Bret Hart can get through this. We're all working with you, Bret. We all have you in our hearts and minds. So keep on fighting, Bret. Any other news? Any other big news?
Not really too much big news at the moment coming out from WWE camp.
All right.
Still waiting to hear like what's going on in New Japan now that like some of their biggest talents have left ship.
Yeah.
Because, you know, it's kind of scary. It's like, I don't know, their next pay-per-view, I'm kind of worried what's going to happen.
I am pretty nervous because a lot of their top guys are hurt right now,
yeah.
and or has left. So this is really going to be a step up for Okada to see what he can do as a top guy, just being the only guy to carry the company, really. Because Nakamura's gone. Tanahashi is either working through a dislocated shoulder, which he'd be insane if he was.
Yeah.
Or he's going to be, you know, he's going to just take the high road and just stay low. So let's go into our questions. We've actually got two questions. First, we'll go to our question man, Simon Zimmerman, our question master. He asks, what is your favorite Bret Hart match? And it's really hard because there is so many matches. And I've got actually someone else in studio. We have Jesse Proulx in studio, and he wants to let us know his favorite Bret Hart match.
Well, what I would have to say is probably the most memorable match for me was... weren't they in the first ladder match together?
The first televised. I think it was Hart and Michaels had a ladder match. I think on a Raw show. Very interesting.
That one and the Iron Man match that they had at WrestleMania. Of course, everyone remembers that.
Yeah.
Classic WrestleMania moment.
Me personally, my favorite Bret Hart match has to be his WrestleMania 13 match with Stone Cold Steve
Austin.
Oh, yes,
that's right.
And the I Quit match with Ken Shamrock as the special guest referee. That was just a beautifully told match, and just everything was so perfect, and it transitioned Austin into the big babyface he was today.
Yeah, and the roles kind of changed. Hart turned heel, and then Stone Cold got even bigger than he was before.
Yeah, exactly. And Alec, do you have a favorite match? Do you have anything from WCW? That would be very interesting.
Well, you know, his match with Goldberg was great, if you count this, like, take away the part where he got a concussion.
Yeah.
But, no, I'm just kidding. By far his best match was WrestleMania 12 against Shawn Michaels, the 60-minute Iron Man match that went into overtime because they both had one fall.
Yeah.
And then if we're going for one, like the traditional match, definitely WrestleMania 13 against Austin, because that was a year-long feud that is just phenomenal. You can actually find most of those Raw episodes on YouTube and just watch the whole saga unfold. It's great. Mm-hmm. Highly recommend if you have about like 3 weeks of your life to waste watching old Raw episodes. They're great
get
matches.
Get some cookies and watch some Raw.
Just bake the cookies.
Watch them Raw.
And you put the belt on the cookies, bro.
You put the cookie down.
And we've got another question here. We've got a question from Kevin from pwpop.com.
Ooh.
And
this isn't a Simon Zimmerman.
No, this is no. But he asked us a very interesting question. Is it possible we get a fatal four-way match in terms of the Divas division between Sasha Banks, Becky Lynch, Charlotte, and Bayley? Do you think it's possible?
I think we talked about this earlier.
We talked about it earlier.
A really good thing at WrestleMania, because the Divas division just doesn't seem to have a direction at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they seem to be setting up something nice where they're going to have Sasha and Becky kind of vie to see who can take on Charlotte. And, like, I'm sure they'd have that all settled by the end of Fastlane so they had set it up for Mania. But it's just a crapshoot.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
And 50-50 booking doesn't really tell you much.
No, it really does not. Now we're at the point where we are here to make our big announcement. Now, you heard earlier our big interview with Mark AP of C4 Wrestling. Great interview. We will have it up on wrestlingwithideas.podomatic.com. And that should be an interesting one. But that was not the only interview we did today. We had another interview that we did, and, I will just let the man speak for himself.
This is Jake the Snake Roberts. You know what you're listening to, don't you? Yeah, Wrestling with Ideas. Here's one idea for sure, though. You don't believe in snakes. If you do, you get bit.
That is right. We had Jake the Snake Roberts in an exclusive interview for CKDJ 107.9 and Wrestling with Ideas. We are going to have the full interview next week on Wrestling with Ideas. It's going to be very, very interesting. We had a great chat with him. Very nice guy. We go through his early career. We talk about what's going on in modern day WWE. So it's going to be a very interesting interview. So I highly, highly, highly recommend you guys check out Wrestling with Ideas next week, not only for our Raw reviews, but also for Jake the Snake Roberts' exclusive interview. So this should be fun. This is going to be real fun.
It's going to be legend, and wait for it. I hope you're not lactose intolerant. Dairy.
There we go. I love that quote. And yes, Jake the Snake Roberts is going to be on next week's show. And we are also going to say, what a great interview Mark AP was.
Great interview.
It was fantastic stuff. You can listen to more of it, again, on wrestlingwithideas.podomatic.com. We're also going to have the full interview of Jake the Snake Roberts next week. We're going to upload it next week on wrestlingwithideas.podomatic.com. We're going to have both those interviews, so stay tuned. Check it out. But again, for Alec Miskey and Jesse Pruhl, thank you for tuning in to Wrestling with Ideas here on CKDJ 107.9, Ottawa's new music, and hopefully you guys will be enjoying Raw, because I don't know if I've been enjoying it recently.